Hey everybody, and welcome to episode number 12 of Life Lean In, where we are leaning in, we're growing. Nobody's perfect,
right?
We're all in process, and we're learning, growing, and leaning in. And it's Love Week.
Yeah,
so,
happy Valentine's Day.
We have candies for all of you who subscribe.
And for myself.
And for yourself. So since it is Love Week, I brought the love of my life, Kelsey, my bride, my wife. She's been on before. She's obviously awesome. And today we are diving into relationship questions. Over the past several weeks, we've been receiving questions from so many people.
I'm still chewing.
About relationships. And so it's all right. Chocolate.
Just keep
good. Whether it's dating relationships or marriage relationships, parenting, all those types of things. And so we're just going to dive right into some of the questions that were given to us. And we hope that it's helpful for you, that we can give you some maybe practical handles and practical tips on how to navigate some of these relational dynamics as we go into Love Week.
Yeah. And, you know, we're still learning alongside you guys a lot of these things.
Yes.
We don't have this all figured out, but these are some tips that we've learned through our time being married, our time dating, and from some amazing counselors who have helped us grow our marriage, strengthen our marriage. And so we want to share those tips with you so that hopefully you can have an even better experience.
And I want to encourage you, even while you're watching, like leave a review, comment. We want to hear from you. Man, if you even have a question and you want
to
send it to us,
we'd be happy
to answer that, even if it's in a next Life Lean In that we do in the future or even get to you on a personal level. We'd love to be able to do that. So, but let's dive in to these questions. The first question is, how do you communicate without, or maybe even the right word for it, how do you have an argument without letting your emotions kind of overpower the discussion?
Yeah, that's a great question, you know, because we are all emotional human beings.
Yes.
And I think this actually was a really hard thing for me to figure out starting off because Dan and I are both very passionate people. So we've never really had a passive argument.
When she says passionate, the way I like to put it is we can go from like 0 to 60 in anger or like defensiveness, those types of emotions. We can go from 0 to 60 quickly.
Yeah.
And both of us are like that.
Right. And you know, at first as a woman, I want problems solved immediately. I had always been taught the verse, don't let the sun go down on your anger. And so it was like, we got to fix this right now. Because if we go to bed mad, then we're sinning. And later I learned that the verse doesn't necessarily mean that night. It means don't let anger, bitterness settle in your heart. And you know, Dan, if I try to make him fix something right away, he needs time. And ultimately I need time too, because we both need to let the Holy Spirit do what only he can do. So we found that if we can stop, if we can pray, and then if we can invite God into the conversation, it's going to be so much better. And even if that means saying, we're going to take a break and we're going to come back to this tomorrow.
Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but a typical woman is not the fixer. Usually that's the guy. The guy wants to fix it and move on.
Oh, yeah. That's
typically
true.
Women, they want to be heard. They want to talk about it. They want to, and that's what you want. Mm-hmm. You don't necessarily, like, you would like to talk about it
but
and hash
it
out.
Right now.
And you want to talk about it right now. And so what we've learned is when you talk about letting the emotions overpower the actual conversation, if you are like us and you can even have like a physiological response, like when the tension starts to rise and you can literally feel panic or fear or anger, like it just rises up in you. Like I said, we can go from 0 to 60 in that mode. We learned quickly, especially for me, I need to let that part of Dan go. Like I need that part of the reactionary, angry, defensive, whatever that is. I need to let that side of me in a sense, die before we have this conversation. And so what we learned early on in marriage through the help of a counselor is that I need what I call Holy Spirit time. Right. Like I need God to deal with my emotions, to really come to terms with how I'm seeing, because I'm not seeing clearly.
Right.
I'm seeing rage. Yeah. I'm seeing red. I'm seeing the issues. Or then we begin to go, well, you did this and you did that. And man, I remember that time, and you hold on to it, and it just, punches. That does, it's not helpful.
Right.
And so, man, you gotta have that time to really process, like, man, what did I do in this situation, or and how is she receiving it? And man, what does God actually want me to do in this situation? And really allow God his time to do a work to overcome the emotions.
Right.
That can overpower the conversation.
For sure.
So I think the biggest thing is you got to take that time if you need it, and you got to be able to communicate that.
Yeah.
Because I think that was our problem up front, was you wanted to just let's go. Right. Let's do it. And you didn't want to give me that time, which caused more issues. And so we've had to communicate that. We've had to talk about that.
That's a good question though.
That's a great question.
And we're going to be here for 2 hours if we spend that long on every question. No. So we'll try to speed it up.
Second question.
Oof.
When dating, how do you stay away from sexual temptations? Now, now for some of you who watch this, you might think, well, what does that even mean? The people like us who follow Jesus, there is a way that he sees relationships, and there's an order to them. And so the Bible talks about having one husband, one wife, committed to each other, and that you are to not have sex before marriage.
Right.
And so what do we do in a culture that's like, just do it, just do what you want to do,
try
be
it out
free,
first so
like,
you can make sure.
How am I even going to know and whatever, like.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of times people spend a long time talking around this topic. And I think that it's almost because we don't want to actually implement what we know needs to be implemented. Because I actually think if we would take these steps, it's a lot quicker of a conversation than it needs to be, honestly. Yeah. I think there's some pretty black and white ways to go about it. And I say this having experience from the other side.
Yeah.
You know, and from not doing this before and seeing the damage that that brought on my life. So know that there is grace. And if you've been there before, God offers his redemptive power that you can come back from that and start today. So I want to encourage you in that, where you can start over from this day. We can start. And here's some really practical tips. One, stay in public.
Yeah.
It's pretty obvious that you're probably not going to fall into that trap. Hopefully.
So you're not going to do sexual things around other people in public settings, right? We hope.
Yeah. The other one. Make a decision now. So have that conversation with the person you're dating.
Yeah.
This is my rule. This is where I want to stay. Don't tempt yourself now with a decision. Don't let yourself be tempted tomorrow with a decision that could be made today.
Right.
So don't wait until you're falling in that trap to say, oh, wait, we probably need to do this. No, set those boundaries now.
And the way I like to think about that, there's a couple things. One, you need to know first and foremost, and we believe this, that God wants the best for you. Mm-hmm. Like, I think sometimes we think, man, God is just this cosmic killjoy.
Yeah.
He just wants to crush my life and whatever. No, he actually wants what's best for us. Mm-hmm. And it's actually some of these things that we get into, whether it's sexual temptation and doing things out of order, that gets us into more problems.
Right.
They complicate our life more than, you know?
Yeah.
Because when we put ourselves out there to that man or to that woman, and then they're not committed to us, it crushes us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it crushes us. Or even if you have a baby outside of marriage, like,
it just
complicates things.
Yeah, and it leaves a crack for Satan to do so many things that if you would just stop that right now, then Satan can't even mess with you on that level.
And what you need to hear from us big time is, if you've been there and done that, there's no shame, no guilt. Mm-hmm. Our big phrase is from this day forward.
Yep.
Man, let's change. Let's tweak it. Let's make some decisions to go after God's best for our life because it is better.
Yeah, and I'm going to touch on something that's uncomfortable for me because if you guys don't know me, this topic is like very far out of, because I'm like 12.
Maturity level 12.
It's fine. But I think we have a lot of conversations of, well, what about this? How far is too far? The what a lot of people would call the everything but conversation. And I would say
everything but like the deed.
Yeah, sex. But
the act, yes, sex.
If you're having that conversation, then Satan's already having a party with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're even engaging in that conversation, that's too far. Because God tells us that our body is a temple. And the reason that he gives these guidelines, if you would, to a happy and healthy marriage is like what Dan said, for your best interest. Mm-hmm. So don't even open that door. Don't even open that window. That's where I see the everything but.
Yeah.
You know, that's the window that Satan can then still get through. So close that off while you can.
And when you're dating, man, you've got to have these principles and these mm-hmm. things that you want for your life. If I want to do it God's way, I got to date someone who wants to do it God's way.
And you want someone who's going to want that for you,
and,
too.
And God talks about, especially in marriage, he talks about being unequally yoked. Well, a yoke is not, it's not an egg yolk. I know you thought it was at one point.
Even when you, yeah, I've
it's
always.
Not an egg yolk.
No, I still thought it was when you told the story a minute ago.
Yeah, so a yoke is a harness that goes on top of cattle that are plowing a field, or oxen that are plowing a field. Mm. And to get straight lines, they have to be equally yoked, pulling in the same direction, going towards the same goal.
Learn something new every
day. If you have different goals in your relationship, if you have expectation over here or mm-hmm. expectation over here, man, you're just going to go in circles. Or if you have one person that's pulling all the weight, you're just going to go in circles. You're literally not going anywhere.
Right.
So God designed this thing, marriage especially, to go in the same direction with power and trajectory and just to be able to produce something great with your life.
Yeah.
That's why it's so powerful to be equally yoked spiritually.
Not eggs yolks, but oxen
yoke. We're plowing plowing the field, not
cooking a
scrambled eggs.
Anyways.
That's a great question.
Yeah. Next question. When you never fight and your relationship is always just good, how do you make sure not to get complacent and that you're still growing?
This is the toughest question for Kelsey and I because in our relationship, this has never been, not fighting has never been really an issue for us.
Yeah.
So
there's two sides to this answer, and I'm going to give my side first. I think for Dan and I, we have to accept that for some people, they just don't fight the way we do.
Sure.
You know, my sister and her husband are very calm, even keel people, and they don't fight nearly as much as Dan and I do, and that's okay.
They silent fight.
Yeah. And, you know, so if you're in a good and easy season, there's still opportunity to grow because God promises, he says, you will have trouble. So someday that will come. So we need to prepare now in our faith and with God before we get in that season of trouble so that our spiritually we're ready to handle it in a godly way.
Yeah.
And you know what? Sometimes, even though Dan and I, we don't always have to be the ones sharpening each other, right? We need to let God sharpen us.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes I'm not battling with him. I'm battling with God on what's that next step I need to take to be more like you, to be more in your image, to be a better mom, to be a better coworker, to be a better friend to people. So there's ways to grow in so many aspects of your life. But know that trouble will come, and it may not be as often as every other day. You know, it might be once every in a while. What was the quote you said about trouble? That either you're in a season of trouble.
Yeah, you either just came out of a season of trouble.
Yeah.
You're in it, or you're coming to it.
Yeah. So prepare in your faith now, and let
you either
God
just came out of a storm. You're in a storm, or the storm's
right.
a coming.
Right.
Yeah.
And so then, Dan, what's your other side to?
So, the other question I would ask when you say that we never fight, our relationship's always good. How do we make sure we're still growing and we're not complacent? I think one question I would ask is, are you actually as good as you think you are, or are you just ignoring things? Are you potentially just pushing stuff aside, some annoyances, or maybe some of the things that you're like, well, maybe it's just not worth talking about? And this is the illustration I use often is, are you just sweeping some of that stuff under the rug?
Because then what's going to happen?
Because then all you end up with is lumpy carpet. Mm-hmm. And at some point, you'll trip over that lumpy carpet. It's going to come. Mm-hmm. Another illustration I have is like sometimes when we pick up toys of our kids or, man, we have that one drawer, that one closet that we're just shoving everything into until we get to the point where we open that door and everything comes crashing down on us. And so that's a question to ask is, are you really as good as you think you are?
Yeah.
Or are you just potentially ignoring some of the conversations that you need to have? Are you willing to, are you just kind of passively going about the relationship and just kind of letting, and it's not always bad to let things that aren't a big, to pick your battles, but you also just can't ignore them.
Right.
Because then you'll end up with a bigger battle down the road.
When the
because
issue isn't the issue that's the issue, there's a deeper issue.
There's a deeper issue. And there's always, So I hope that's helpful. Ask that question. I mean, and again, if you want to dive deeper into maybe a practical that we can help with, we'd love to. But ask yourself that question, because maybe you are going through a season where things are great.
Yeah.
And we have those seasons.
And don't take those for granted.
We have those seasons for sure. The next question is, how do you handle the thoughts in your head that tell you the person you're interested in will never be interested in you?
Yeah, so I think the first question is, are they thoughts in your head that you just have a habit of thinking in general? Do you have low self-esteem? Has Satan had an attack on your mind in so many ways? Are these things that you hear constantly no matter the relationship? Or are you hearing the thoughts of your heart? Are you seeking God? Are you asking him, direct me to the person that you have for me as a spouse? Because I think until you can separate what those thoughts actually are, then you can't really go much further.
Yeah.
You know, I know Dan and I, for a while, Dan was ready to date me, and I was not ready to date Dan. Right, Dan? Yeah. So, anyway,
I don't know if that's exactly true.
Yes, it's so true. Anyways.
You wanted to... Okay, here's what's really real. You potentially didn't want to date me because you knew that I wasn't interested in just dating.
Right. But like, to Dan, that could have looked like...
But you also didn't want me to date anyone else.
Okay, we're going to continue. I sidetracked us. Sorry, I didn't realize he was going to be so passionate about that one topic. But...
We're just keeping it real.
Ask God, is this Satan lying to me, telling me I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy, because we know that that's not true. God never says that. Or are you directing me to say, you know what, this isn't the person for you? Because what Dan talked about earlier, being equally yoked, you want that person that God has for you. And so if you're not asking him to steer you towards that person, then it's going to be wasted time.
And to just be frank, if that person is not seeking you, then they probably don't want you. Mm. And that's a hard reality, but that's true.
Yeah.
And I think over 20 years of marriage. We haven't been married for 20 years, over 20 years of ministry. Mm-hmm. And especially before I, in many different cases, I was a young adults pastor, a student pastor, even a singles ministry pastor. And I can count so many times where especially women would say, man, God told me that this is going to be my husband. And I just want to challenge you with that thought that if God hasn't told that person then it's not true. And I'm not even sure God actually does that. I think that he wants to prepare you to be the right person for someone when they do come along.
Yeah.
But we can't be so consumed with that one person, because then we end up making that person our God rather than...
So instead of focusing
and we'll be disappointed.
Right. Because we're always going to be disappointed by even the person you end up marrying. If you put more pressure on them to perform the way that only God can for you, you're going to be let down. Yeah. But next question.
How do you support your spouse when they are disciplining your children, our children?
Yeah. It's a great question. You know, we've...
Who disciplines our kids?
You do.
You do?
I do. I've gotten so much better. used to be kind of a giant pushover. But I've gotten a lot better. And the one thing that we've really learned is show a united front.
Yep.
Never let your kids see a crack in the way that you're going to discipline, because they will figure that out real quick and they'll use it against you. So even if you disagree on how to discipline in public, only have that conversation in private.
Yep.
I have learned the phrase, when the girls come and ask me something, "Mommy, can I have this piece of candy?" My go-to is, "What did your dad say?" Because I know now that they've learned that I'm a pushover, they'll normally either ask me because they know Dan will say no, so they'll skip him, or if he says no, they'll come to me next. And so if I can say, "What did your dad say?" And then at least I know, am I overstepping a boundary that Dan already set, or am I actually the first one being asked?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I think this has gotten so much better. And it's something to communicate about. How do you want to discipline your kids? And each kid is different. And so discipline may have to look different for different kids.
Right.
You know, Maymay, our 2-year-old, spanking does not work. She laughs. It does not affect her.
Depends on who's spanking her.
Okay, well, still. She needs Harper. If she gets spanked, she cries and has to go to her room. It's different.
A toddler with a diaper on, like, you can't just tap them because they don't even feel that.
Okay, we're not going to have this conversation right now.
But I will also say in that regard that something Kelsey and I have talked a lot about is follow through.
Mm-hmm.
Man, kids need to know. Kids are going to push that line, and they need to know that that line or whatever you have, it's not going to be pushed over.
Right.
Like, and so what you, and this is where God is genius. God always follows through with what he says mm-hmm. and what he does. He always follows through, and he disciplines his kids. Why? Because he loves them.
Yeah.
And so when you discipline your kids, is because you know that there's a better course for them to take.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we say no to our kids on, you know, candy at night, it's because we want them to go to sleep because we want to sleep. Let's be honest. We want to sleep. So there's things that we have to be united on, but you know, discipline, it's so crucial to follow through. And so it's, mm-hmm. you can't just lob, you know, all these threats. "I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that," and then never follow through, because then your kids know that they can do whatever they want and you're never going to actually follow through.
For sure.
So that's the important thing.
Yeah. The last question that we have for you today is, if you've been through a divorce, what does God want for my future? What does he say about getting married again?
Mm-hmm.
You starting this one or am I?
So we're going to go back to a statement that we said earlier, and that's this: God is for you,
mm-hmm.
and he loves you unconditionally.
From this day forward.
And from this day forward is such a crucial phrase
for
you to get in your head, because the past is gone.
Mm-hmm.
You can't change the past.
Right.
You can change the future. And God is a God of redemption. He's a God of forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to make very clear, though, that in Scripture it says that God hates divorce.
Right.
Now, I want to say very clearly why God hates divorce. He doesn't hate you. He doesn't hate you as a person. He doesn't hate your spouse. He hates the calamity that divorce mm-hmm. causes.
Yeah.
He hates that you hurt. He hates that you're going through this pain. He hates that you're going through this separation. He hates the collateral damage that happens
right.
with potentially your kids and your family and all that kind of stuff. He hates the divorce because it's better if you're together.
Right.
And I would say, honestly, most divorce happens because we don't do our due diligence before we get married. And so that's what's so crucial about
spiritually in our marriage,
by making mm-hmm. sure that we are unequally yoked, making sure we're with the right people who have the same standards of life, standards of living, pursuing God, pursuing, you know, being pure in our relationship. And it's that we're committed to that together,
right.
not here, we're going that way and this person's going that way.
Yeah.
If we can get it right during our dating life, I think it sets us up for success in our married life. But if we're divorced, what now?
You know, I think there's a reason why God sent his one and only son to die on the cross. And it's because he didn't want us to spend our entire lives hanging ourselves on crosses for the sins that we've made. And so if we keep punishing ourselves for our past sins, that's denying what Jesus did for us.
Right.
We're not laying it at his feet and accepting the power of the cross. So if you've been through a divorce, if you've been hurt, if you've been the one who's caused the hurt, like Dan said, from this day forward, God wants us to lay it at the feet of his son and then to experience the transformative power of Jesus. And so that doesn't mean going back into the same cycle we were in before. Mm-hmm. That means doing things differently. That means partnering with Jesus through our entire relationship and, you know, and seeking that person that God has for us. But do I believe that he wants the best future for you and that may be in another spouse? 100%.
And you can't, and we've had this conversation many times, don't ever use divorce in your marriage. Like, don't just lob that out flippantly, because I think that's also that Satan, our enemy, wants us to be divided.
Right.
He wants to tear us apart. He's going to do everything he can. Marriage mimics, is a mirror of our relationship with God.
Right.
And so it's one of the greatest institutions that God ever instilled into humanity. And honestly, the power of marriage, the power of families is quite honestly one of the most powerful forces that we have on this earth. And Satan is doing everything he can to tear it apart and to destroy it. So even if you're sitting here right now and listening and watching and you're thinking, man, we've been on the verge, don't quit.
Yeah.
Keep fighting. Not fighting each other, but fighting for each other.
And for your relationship.
And for your relationship. And man, and part of that means that you're going to have to try. One of the first things you'll learn when you're married is how selfish you are.
Yeah.
And those of us who have been in a relationship for a long time and been in marriage for a long time, man, and most of the fights that we have, and even times when you're going deeper into the potential divorce, it's because selfishness has taken over.
Yeah.
You've stopped thinking about your spouse. You've stopped thinking about how to meet their needs, how to support and lift them up, how to care for them, how to love them and respect them. Man, you've just been thinking about yourself and what you want and what you need. And that's not, those aren't the ingredients for a healthy marriage.
For sure.
So don't quit. Get help.
We're here to help. Yeah.
Man, we're here to help. We'll point you in the right direction.
We go to counseling too.
Man, you reach out to us and we will make sure that you get the help that you need.
Yeah.
And I want to just share with you, we're about to start a brand new series of messages at New Life Church on relationships.
Mm-hmm.
It's Love Month.
The whole month.
And so we're going to dive into a series called Best Blank Ever. And so we're going to talk about the best dating ever, best marriage ever, best sex ever. We can say it out loud. Best sex ever.
I just can't.
And we're going to talk about leaving a legacy, the best legacy that we can leave because of what our marriage, what our relationships look like, what our parenting looks like.
Yeah.
And we're going to have a blast doing it. So we want to invite you, come to New Life Church. 9:30 at Mattawan High Schools or online every week, newlifekzu.com. And just remember, nobody's perfect. We are all in process.
Yeah.
So never stop learning, never stop growing, and keep leaning in. Real quick, if you like this, if it was helpful, subscribe, share this with a friend.
Yeah.
And we can't wait. Next week, we have a special guest. Two special guests.
Yep.
We have Coach Tim Lester, the head coach of Western Michigan University's football team, and his wonderful wife, Dawn. So you don't want to miss it. So subscribe, share this with a friend. It's going to be a blast. Keep learning, keep growing, and keep leaning in.